to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Before the end of the year gets real busy, and we'll be meeting up in the front fellowship hall at 7 o'clock. We're going to have some drinks and chips and cookies and all that kind of stuff. And we got a little other fun thing we won't tell you till we get up there that night. And we're going to be working together. And so if you'd like to help us outreach to Romania, we'll be doing that this Wednesday night and looking forward to it. Then the next Wednesday, my parents are going to be back with us looking forward to that. So come out and be with us. Secondly is we need drummers. We need, in fact, two drummers. And so if you are a drummer or you know someone here that plays drums and you'd like to, tell on and report on, they need a couple drummers to break up the load of our drumming. And so if you are a drummer, or you know someone, if you would stop by the sound booth and talk to Dale, leave your name and number, and the music team will get a hold of you, and it would be a great help to us. All right, everybody stand up this morning. Let's do this. Let's play a game. Let's pretend, begin with this morning. Let's pretend that last Friday you had someone, let's say last Friday your banker called you, all right? And let's say your banker calls you and tells you someone that loves you very much has just called the bank. In fact, they want to give you $6,000 a week for the rest of your life. How many would get excited about that? Wouldn't that be great? And but the deal is there is a catch. There is a stipulation to this. That averages to about $864 a day. And they want to give you that every day. They want to give you $864 every day. And the stipulation is this. You have to spend that every day. My wife says she can do that. She can do that. You cannot carry any of it over to the next day. You have to spend all $864 a day. They said to make it easy, they said you can't carry one penny over. So what they're going to do, they're going to break it down into pennies, and it's 86,400 pennies a day is what you're going to get. And you have to spend all 86,400 pennies a day. That averages about $315,000 a year. You have to spend all 86,400 pennies every day. All right? Many of you know what that means. Let's go to the real world. Someone that loves you has given you 86,400 seconds every day. 86,400 seconds is 24 hours. And the deal is, you have to spend it all today. You cannot carry 1 second over to tomorrow. And the one that loves you has given to every one of us the same amount every day. And the only stipulation is, you've got to spend it all today. And every one of us will spend our 86,400 seconds, every one of us will spend it today. Won't carry 1 second over tomorrow. Bow your heads. Father, I ask you this morning that you would speak to us. I ask you, Lord, that you'd open our eyes. I ask you that you would challenge us. Father, I ask you that you'd bring conviction on our hearts and let us value what is very valuable in our lives. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, one of the keys, I don't know about you, sometimes I don't value things until I get a little less of it. You ever had a lot of milk, you know, and you're just drinking away, and then there's only about a fourth left in the bottom, and you got five of you to do it? Or you've got ketchup. I remember growing up, my daddy got paid once a month. And I remember toward about the 25th of every month, the ketchup bottle continually got water in it, shook it up until it wasn't even red anymore. I mean, you just look down. And And you don't value things sometimes. That's why some of you, it's good not to carry so much money in your pocket. Because, you know, if you got a lot of money in your pocket, you just blow it. But if you just got a little bit in your pocket, you make it stretch out. One person said, time is like that. One said that says, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. And what happens is how we spend our time. One guy calculated it this way. 6 months you spend at stoplights. 8 months at a junk opening junk mail. I'm on the low end of that stuff. It is 1 year looking for misplaced objects. Some of you way on the high end of that one. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 5 years waiting in line, whether it's in the car or physically. 6 years you spend of your life eating. 8 years watching TV. And 2 years dressing. Some of you are on the low end of that. I can just see you come in today. You're on the low end. One guy wrote this. He said, if you're 35 years old, one guy did it. If you're 35 years old, how many 35-year-olds do we have in here? Let's see your hands. A few of you, 35? Few, okay, a few here. 35 years old. At least that. 35. It says you have approximately 500 days left to live. If you're 35, one guy said, average age is 71 years old. You have approximately 500 days left to live. And you know they do that? They said you have 500 days to do what you want to do. All the other time is pretty much programmed out of your life. What you're doing, you're working, you're taking care, you're doing this, you're doing that. You have about 500 days to where you can do what you want to do. And when you begin to understand how quickly time goes, and when it's like anything you've got a lot of, it's like you don't appreciate it as much as you do when you only have a little bit of it left. That's why sometimes at the end of lives, people begin to value the time a lot better. But God did not, listen, one of the keys I learned about life is God did not give us all the same talent. All the untalented people say amen this morning, would you? He didn't give us all the same talent. He didn't give us all the same good looks. All the ugly people say amen this morning, would you? He didn't give us all the same amount of money. Some have more, some have less. He didn't give us the same amount, you name it. But one thing he gave us exactly the same amount of was the time. Everybody in here gets 24 hours a day. Everyone in here has got 86,400 seconds a day. Nobody got more. Nobody got less. Wouldn't it be something just like all the other things that some of us got more time than others? That some of us got more in a day. We got, oh, I got 124,000 seconds. Now, you just get 86. All of us get 86,400 seconds a day. We're all the same. But it's a non-renewable resource. Whatever time we lose, whatever time we spend is gone forever. When we spend it, it's gone. It's not there anymore. What we've been, I'm 54 years old. You know, you get confused. 54 years old. And I have spent 54 years of my life. You know, time is more infinitely more valuable than money. Money can be, you lose it, you get more of it. You can go broke and the next year you can be a millionaire again. But you can never recoup the time that you lost. You can never gain back that which you spent. Once it's gone forever. Once it's 53 is gone for, I'll never live 53 again. It's gone forever. 52, 51. Some of you want to live it, but you cannot live it because there, once time is gone, it's gone forever. Or is it? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at this morning. So then walk circumspectly, not as fools. Look at somebody say, don't be a fool. Would you look at somebody say, don't be a fool. Would you look at somebody say that? But as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That tells me that if you're living a life haphazardly, you're wasting your time. You're living like a fool. You're the day for evil. You're getting involved in junk you should never be involved in. But because you have not understood what the will of the Lord is. So therefore you're wasting time and you're wasting years and you're wasting seconds and you're spending your 86,400 seconds a day on frivolous things that the Lord says you're living life as a fool because you need to be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is so that you do not misspend your 86,400 seconds every day. Listen, time is the most valuable commodity that you have. I have known men that have managed their money to the penny and yet wasted away the years of their life. What's more valuable? What will last longer? Brought nothing in, we'll take nothing out. But what is more valuable than resources that we have is the amount of time that we spend every day of our life. 86,400 seconds given to each one of us. With time that is allotted to me, the question is, where will I spend that and how will I spend it? Listen, how will I spend it? Every one of us gets to spend it like we want to. Just like if I gave you 86,400 pennies, you can spend it any way you want to spend it. You can watch, you know, Woody Woodpecker all day long with your 86,400 seconds if you want to. You can watch I Love Lucy until you love. You can watch it. You can do everything you want. You have the right to spend your 86,400 seconds any way you want to. You can either do it foolishly or you can do it wisely. Either you can walk in wisdom or you can frivolously waste the most valuable thing in your life and literally waste it. 2 Timothy 4, Paul wrote Timothy and said this. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead and the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke with all longsuffering and teaching. He says, be ready in season and out of season. The Amplified Bible says it this way. We're just herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Everybody say, keep your sense of urgency. Keep your sense of urgency. That is, don't live your 86,400 seconds every day in some melancholy way, but keep your sense of urgency every day in, day out, season in, season, when you feel it and when you don't feel it. One thing about my life, I've learned this. If I only do stuff when I feel like doing it, I'll never do it. There's sometimes, I remember Samuel taught me this word. I remember he says, Brother Samuel, are you getting ready to leave? And you say, by force, Brother Terry, by force. You know, there's sometimes I have to do stuff by force. I just do it. Do I feel like it? No. But if I allow my emotions to dictate to me what I do or don't do with my 86,400 seconds, then my life is going to be controlled by the whimsical nature of emotions. I don't want it to be that way. I want to do what the Lord said do in my life. I want to obey the Lord regardless of what my emotions say. David spoke to himself, says, why are you cast down within me, O my soul? Hope thou in God. He didn't let his emotions control his 86,400 seconds a day. He decided he's going to spend it the way the Lord wanted. He was going to spend it in wisdom. Keep your sense of urgency. Look at, there was a tribe in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 7. There was a tribe in the Old Testament called the sons of Issachar. They were men of renown. And notice why. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Pula, Shebu, Shammah, four and all. Look at them. The sons of Tola were Uzza, Reba, Rabba, Rubba, Rabba, Baba, heads of their father's house. The sons of Tola were mighty men of valor in their generations. Now, they were mighty men of valor. Look, now, let me show you why they were. Go to the next scripture. Of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times. Everybody say understanding of the times. They had an urgency. They knew what to do. They understood the time in which they lived. And I'm going to tie that in. To know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs, they had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They understood. They weren't oblivious to this thing called time. They understood the timings, the in the affairs of God and the affairs of men. They had understanding of what they were to do, what they were not to do. They were not just haphazard and living life, but they had understanding of this commodity called time. This thing that we've taken for granted, 86,400 seconds a day, we all get it the same. And they had understanding of that 86,400. They knew because, listen, eternity is focused in the second, in the moment. Your life is going to be directed by what you decide now, today. So they went, Jesus looked out across the Kidron Valley one time and wept over the city of Jerusalem because he said this, you don't even know the day of your visitation. You've missed the 86,400 seconds of, you've missed the importance of your time. He said, you don't know it. So the king has come to you and you don't even realize it. They missed their opportunity. Ephesians 5 says it this way. Let me read it again. Ephesians 5 says, listen, time is forever moving. Never stops. From the time you drove in this morning, time has not stopped marching. You have spent some of your 86,400 seconds. You've spent some of that this morning coming here, on your way to here, on getting in and out of the car. You go to sleep tonight. Time never sleeps. Time keeps marching along. Your 86,400 seconds takes place. Listen, you can lie down, you can go to sleep, but time is still moving. And when it's gone, there's no calling it back. Time is irrevocable. You know, ocean, when sometimes I used to be out at the ocean, I watch the tide go out, and you think, well, it's gone. No, the tide will come back in. You know, a river turns into mists, that turns into clouds, that turns into rain, that comes back. So it comes back. I mean, one time I was in college, there's some class I was in, they were talking about the air that we breathe is probably recycled air that even Julius Caesar breathed, because that breaks up and spreads around the world because it comes back again. Lots of things come back again, like children, you know how that is. But you know, a lot of things when they go, they come back again. But one thing that'll never come back, and that's time. Everybody say time. Once it's gone, it's past. It'll never return. 2009 is mostly gone. It'll never come back. Verse 16, though, says this in next scripture. Go ahead, put it in. It says, redeeming the time. Everybody say redeeming. Yeah, I told you this. Remember S&H Green Stamp Store? Remember that, where you could redeem your thing and get something? You could redeem it. And Paul writes and he says, redeeming the time. The word means to buy up. And I'll give you a little more definition in just a minute. But one of the definitions means to buy up. Put that definition up. It means to redeem, means to buy up. How can we buy up time? How can we go? Is there a store somewhere where you can go? And how many would like if there was a time store in Baton Rouge? You need more time today. You're busy. You just go there and you buy 5 more hours. Wouldn't that be great? Go there. I like 5 hours of time, please. You want good time? And I'll take the good time. I want 5 hours of... There's no store in Baton Rouge where you can buy time. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And yet Paul writes and says, buy up the time. Purchase it. Rescue it. In fact, the next definition means to rescue from loss. Redeem means is to rescue from loss. That is, don't lose it. You got to spend it, but spend it wisely. Don't spend it as a fool. Spend it wisely. You ever, somebody moved away and then you realized all the missed opportunities you could have had with that person and they're moving away? You know the old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Some of the thing, because you just took it for granted, and the time that you had, you misspent it. The 86,400 seconds granted to you today, like everybody else, how did you spend yours? To rescue from loss. To redeem means to rescue it from frivolous living. Rescuing your 86,400 seconds. Rescuing it. Because you were about to just meander through it and waste it, but you rescued it. From loss. You know, the word Paul used for redeeming the time One of the keys, and I'm going to use this in both ways, but one of the keys, the word time is not the regular word that we use for clock time. That word is called chronos. Time, chronos, clock time. But the word that he uses is not, he didn't say redeem the chronos, the clock time. That's not what he said. Because then we could use, you know, any of the good and profitable, you know, time management companies that are around. Teach you how to, you know, do better on your time management. And what Paul is not doing is advocating really managing your time better. That's not what he's talking about. But the word that he used was redeem or rescue from loss, your keros. He didn't use the common Greek word for time calendar, you know, for clock time. Redeem your clock time. He didn't do that. What he used was the word keros, which is the word for critical moment. Rescue from loss, your critical moment. Rescue from loss so that you do not miss your critical moment. Now, the two are tied together because what I found is if you're not managing your clock time, many times you miss and you lose and you miss your critical moment because you've not managed your chronos. So you miss your keros. You miss the critical moment of your life. Because you weren't. And so what he's saying is not so much to be good time managers, but to be good opportunity managers. Because in the Amplified Bible it says, buying up each opportunity. That's how it's read in the Amplified. It says not only redeem time, in the Amplified it says, buying up each opportunity that you have. It's like when your kids finally do leave home and you think, oh, I should have done this, and the days or hours end up being. But literally it says, not just good time managers, though that's important, but be good opportunity managers. Redeeming the keros, rescuing from loss. It's not just the time, but also the timing. It's not just counting the minutes, hours, days, months, and years, but making those things count. Did you get that? It's not just counting your minutes, your hours, your days, your years, but it's making them count. I've seen a lot of people live a long time and really never lived. But it's making your time count, not counting your time. It's what a lot of management things do. It's really not managing your time. It's managing yourself is what it really is. And so literally you begin to make use and opportunity of your opportunities. Tomorrow will be given more hours, but we may never have the same opportunity. See, tomorrow you're going to give, when you wake up, after you're going to get another 86,400 seconds tomorrow too. But the opportunity that was packed in today's 86,400 seconds may not be there tomorrow. There was a young clerk one time. This will bypass the young people. Some of the older people remember this one. There was a young clerk one time, and he worked in a hardware store. And he was a young guy, and he just started working there. And one of the things he noticed that everybody else just got used to the fact was he'd go down and get parts and get different things for people coming in the hardware store need it. And then he realized, he looked in these shelves, and man, there was so much stuff been there for years and years and years, and nobody's buying it. It was out of date. A lot of it was unuseful stuff, and a big backlog of inventory that would never be sold. And you know what he did? He went to his boss. He went to the owner of the little hardware store and said, "Sir," said, "I'll tell you what, I got an idea. Why don't you let me start taking some of the inventory that's been here for years and get it out of the shelves and go put it on a table and put it right by the door and sell it for either a nickel or a dime." The guy thought about it. He said, "Well, that's not a bad idea." He said, "Why don't you do that?" The young clerk took a day, went through the shelves, got a lot of the stuff. Owner looked at it, said, "Yeah, that's good." Put it on by the door, sold it for a nickel or a dime. Sold out within a week. He said, "Sir, you mind if I do it and find some more stuff for sale?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead." Did it again, second time, same thing, great. Well, this young guy said, "You know what, I got a great idea. Why don't you let me open up a store? You fund it. You do the capital. And we'll take all the rest of the stuff. And I'll make a store. And I'll sell everything for a nickel and a dime. And the owner of the hardware store just laughed at him. Said, you can't find enough stuff to sell for a nickel and a dime. And that young boy never lost his dream and went out on his own. His name was Woolworth. Come on, somebody. His name was Woolworth. You know why? And you know what the owner of the hardware store said years later? He said, I figured that every word I turned that boy down cost me about $1 million. Come on, somebody. He missed his opportunity. But that young boy did not miss his opportunity. Who's the quarterback at Oklahoma right now? What's his name? Sam Bradford. You know, he was the Heisman Trophy winner last year. He would have went high up in the draft. But he, in the goodness of heart, decided to come, because I think he was only a sophomore, right? He came back as a junior. To go back in, and because Oklahoma was averaging at one point like 50 points a game, right? Last year, just mowing them over. Came back. Hurt his arm. Got hurt. Came back. Hurt his arm again. They forecast now he probably has lost anywhere between $10 and $20 million. By coming back to play again this year. Manage your opportunities of your 86,400. Everybody say 86,400. Okay, how do you redeem the time? How do you rescue from loss? Let me hook because you have to manage your chronos time to be able to really deal with your kairos, with your opportunity. Let me tell you what to do. One of the best ways to manage your time is stop wasting time. I thought that would enthuse you. Stop wasting time. Romans 13 says this. Watch what it says. But next scripture. Romans 13. And do this knowing the time. Everybody say knowing the time. Do this knowing the time. You ever look at, power went off yesterday. Time was all kind of whacked out. You look down and you think, I thought I had a lot. Listen, if you don't know the time, you do all kinds of crazy stuff. One time I was sitting there, I remember, you got to see, I was laying there, I was at home one time, and the phone rang. Pastor Terry, who is this? Pastor, this is so-and-so. The wedding music has started. You should see the pictures of that wedding. My hair, yeah. You know why? Because I didn't know the time. I had no idea about the time. I didn't have a wife. I didn't know the time. Every once in a while, we'll drive in the parking lot here, and the parking lot will be full. I go, whoo, 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 whoo. You know, I'll have flashbacks. You know, what's going on? I forgot something. But you know the best way, though? The best way to redeem time, the best way to buy up time is to get in partnership. For me, it was getting married. I mean, I know all the time. I know when to get up, when to go. I don't know. But get in partnership with somebody or some group. We started on Sunday morning small groups. And let me tell you, they have been, I'll guarantee you, the people in those groups have become more productive than they ever were before by themselves. I'm more productive now after I got married than I was. I know a whole lot more about this church since I got married. Come on, somebody. I learned all kinds of things. But one of the best ways to redeem time is the power of partnership. Leviticus says it this way. 5 of you shall chase 100. But 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. See, one of you is about kind of like one-on-one. But five of you shall chase 100. It's not like one of you, and it's kind of like you can do okay with one person. Two of them, I don't think you probably get whipped. But 5 of you get together, there's this exponential power to where you can deal with 100 where it would take you one-on-one dealing with 100 all day long. But if 5 of you get together, you can deal with 100 of you. You're talking about buying up time. You talk about, listen, right there, I just bought time. Because what I would have taken me 100 segments to do, if I get 4 other people with me, I can do that in one punch, 100 of them. And then it says, if you put 100 of you together, you get to deal with 10,000 to flight. Where I just bought time. I only got 86,400 a day. But if I link together in partnership, I've just bought time. Because there's an exponential. The ability to get together and do stuff I could not do on my own. Stuff I could get together and be, I could not do on my own. So the Bible, look at Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 says, two are better than one. Jesus sent them all out 2 by 2. You know why he didn't send them out 1 by 1? Because he knew the power of partnership. He knew that literally 2 is better than 1. Not just that you're, you know, it's better to protect you and all this. It's you're buying up time. You're redeeming. You're rescuing from loss opportunities that you would lose. 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Is that right? You fall in a ditch. You can't get up, but somebody could reach down. You save. You just rescued from loss all this time. You just redeemed time. If you get in a group, you just bought time. If you work, is there a store? No. But I'm going to tell you, get hooked up partnership-wise. And you will see, you'll begin to redeem time that would be lost. Says again, if 2 lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can 1 be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, 2 can withstand him. And 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. There begins to come in your life. If you'll link up with somebody, you get in partnership with somebody. You know, one of the keys we used to do when I grew up in Tennessee is my dad and my brother loved to watch wrestling. And we got pictures of them. You should see, you know, remember the real wrestling matches? I've always wondered about the modern day wrestlers. Not so much them. I wondered about the people that go see them. You ever wondered about those kind of people? Maybe you are one of those kind of people. You ever watch them? They're in the stands going crazy. You know, and they're missing them by about 4 feet when they sling at them. And I mean, the thing's padded and all this and that. But in the old days, it was real. The blood was real. The guts, it was real. And I remember, though, what the deal was is when you're pinned, you're on your back, blood coming from your head, you've been hit with 3 chairs, and he's, 1, 2, if you could just reach out and tag your partner, life was good. Come on, somebody, life was good. Guy comes in the ring, he's all fresh, he's ready. You know why? Because the power of partnership, you just extended your time. What would have been over was not over. There's a lot of you trying to go it alone, and you get pinned and you're down for the count. But when you're in partnership, you always got a brother or sister ready to tag up with you and come in fresh. Come on, somebody. You got to learn how to listen. We just bought time. In 1961, Thomas Van Beck was a young executive, and I read this story of him the other day. He told by the upper management, go get you an executive secretary. So he was one of those young, you know, gung-ho execs, and he wanted to get somebody with a lot of energy, and so he interviewed him. Finally, this young lady, her name was Need, Mrs. Need. Young lady interviewed for the job. He liked her. She had great skills, all that, but she seemed like she had a lot of energy. And he hired her, and for 14 years, he was absolutely amazed because she never took 1 day vacation. She never took 1 day sick leave. 14 years. And he said, we would work 10-hour days some days, and says she was as fresh at the end as she was at the beginning. And he said, I'd drag in the next day and she'd come in. She was full. She was unboundless in her energy. He says, 14 years. One day she comes in. She says, I'm resigning. Try to talk her out of it. No, I'm not looking for their job. No monument. I'm just retiring. So he was so thankful and impressed. He threw her a big going away party. And when she came in the door, in she walked. And then she walked in again. She was a twin. And for 14 years, they had traded off. True story. 14 years. Have you been watching the birds? You've been watching the birds? Look at me saying, this is for the birds. Just look at me, this is for the birds. You've been watching the birds? Any of you watched the V formation? You saw the V formation? The ones going further south? You saw them? You know the reason they do that is, they say on an average that in the V formation, the bird in front of them, when he flaps his wings, starts an updraft. And that when the one in the front gets tired, he rotates back and then one of the other ones gets up front. And they say that in flying in that V formation, they fly, listen to this, they fly 72% further than they could fly on their own. They just bought time. Not having to sit down and rest, not having to stop. They just bought time. 72% in its flying range, longer than it could flown before. 72%. If you've ever been to, one time I read Charles Osgood, it was on CBS program. I'll never forget, he had a program on one time, and it was a program of a convalescent home. And it showed he was interviewing a lady that had had a stroke, and she was paralyzed on her left side. But the story was she was a pianist, a great pianist. It was the love of her life. And she had a stroke and it paralyzed her left to where her left hand arm was useless. And when she got into the convalescent home, there was one of the directors was one of his duties was directing the musical part. He learned that she was a pianist and he introduced her to another lady who had been a great pianist that also had had a stroke. But that had left her paralyzed on the right side. And he introduced them together. And he said, at the beginning, it was a little struggle getting the timing and getting all that down. But he would put the music up there and bring them both on the benches. And said, after a while, you would not believe how beautiful the two of them played their music together. What you can't do alone, you can do together. What you can never, you can fly, you can get tired, you can drop down, you can do all this. If you've ever been to California, one of the deals about California, you go up through the big redwood trees. How many's ever been to redwood trees? You ever been through driving? The redwood trees, some of them grow up to 300 feet high. I mean, they're humongous. They're humongous. They have big roads cut through them. And you would think that the redwood tree had deep roots, but it does not. The redwood trees, when you go up, they have very shallow roots. They do that for the moisture. But the way they withstand, the way they stand is almost always, now they're seldom, but very seldom do you ever find a redwood tree by itself. It's always in a forest of other redwood trees. You know why? Because what they can't stand on their own, they can withstand with a group. What they cannot bear by themselves, they can bear in a group. Can I tell you, there's some of these groups right now have walked with people that's in there, walked through some deep waters with them. You know why? Some waters that would have been very tough to walk through by yourself. You may have wasted and lost years of grief. But you know what? When you're standing there, what other things it does redwood trees do? It says their roots intertwine and there's a fungus that gets on them. And what that fungus does, it says among the redwood trees, that fungus literally, if one redwood tree gets water, where the other one doesn't, it literally can share the water with the other trees. The nutrients that one of them gets, minerals and all the rest, it literally, through that fungus, can share that with the other trees. Look at somebody say, I think I need you. Would you say to somebody, I think I need you? Let's end up this morning with this. Even though each one of us is given 86,400 seconds, and none of us know, though, how many days we've been given. I don't know if I'll be back next week. I can't tell you that for definite. I think I'm going to be back next week. Hope I'm going to be back next week. My wife didn't like me to say stuff like this, but there could be a day when Kenny or somebody get up next Sunday and say, he's in heaven. He's gone home. You know that day will come, right? You know that day will come. It will come. There will be a Sunday when somebody will stand up here and say, "He's in heaven." I hope you cry. I hope you cry a little bit for me. You know, just a tear here or there. My wife's already crying. She's crying up here. But there will be a time when that will happen. So James says it this way. Listen to what James says. "Come now, you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go and do such and such and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." Is that right? You do not know what will happen tomorrow. "For what is your life?" That's speaking of your time, your chronos. What is your life? "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that.'" So if the Lord wills, I will be back next Sunday. Just put your mind, I will be back next Sunday. But I don't know. I've already lived 54 years of my life. I'll never forget. I read Sir Walter Scott's. I was studying something one time, and I read Sir Walter Scott's diary. He was a famous guy years gone by. And you know what the last entry in his diary was? "Tomorrow we shall." That was the last entry in his diary. "Tomorrow we shall." And he died. "Tomorrow we shall." And he died. "If the Lord wills, we shall do this and do that." I found this scripture. I really liked it. Because it reminds me of that one guy said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. That's life. One guy said, "You know what I lived every year? I just lived for a big summer vacation. That's what I lived for. I focused on that." And he missed life. You know the old story about you can't wait till you get married, so you're just biding your time. Then you get married, you can't wait till you have kids, you're biding your time and you're married. And then when you get your kids, you can't wait till they get a little bit older. And then you can't wait till they leave. And then you can't wait till they come back and see you. And then you sit on the porch looking at the albums. And what a great life we had. Well, look at that. Why not enjoy it for the moment? One thing I loved about having kids later in life, I was like a grandparent to start with. I was in my 30s. We had kids. I was in my 40s and they were 10. I mean, I was like, as a grandparent, you know, I had a great time with them. And what happens in life is this. I saw this great scripture in Amplified. Put the Amplified version up, that next scripture I gave you. It says, "But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time." Everybody say, lose track of the time. Like you got a wedding to go do. You lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Don't doze off. Oh, is there a little more? But be up, awake to what God is doing. Don't rescue from loss your kairos, your exact time. The time. Just be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work He began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed. Get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and up. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? Come on. Everybody stand up. You know, the longer I've thought about was, why is the Lord letting this old world keep going? Because we are arriving at a destination. And I saw this in Peter, and I really believe it's true. Put 1 Peter up there. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering." You know, they said, you know, since the beginning, the world is as it was. That's the scriptures previous to this. And it says, where is the promise of His coming? The time, the clock keeps on marching. Where is His promise? Why? Is God oblivious about time? Listen to what it says. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish." See, that's not just sinners. That means saints that need to repent too. You know why God's allowing your life? He said, man, that guy's just wasting his life, wasting his, you've seen people, they're wasting their talents. Got so much talent, and they're wasting it. And yet the Bible says, and Peter says, God's not slack. You know why God's allowing it to go on? Is because he's long-suffering toward us. Everybody say, thank God. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. He said, there is a time. There is a deadline. There is an ending to this thing. God, listen, God is holding off judgment because of his long suffering, because of how much he loves us. Listen, we need to redeem the time. And this morning, I want every one of you to close your eyes. And I want to ask you, how are you going to spend the rest of your 86,400? You see, we're doing something together this afternoon as a team, as a group, that we can never do on our own. We're going to be touching lives this afternoon as a group. Be here at 3:15. Just show up. We need you. We use you. You're not going to be out of places. Come and find one up and say, what can we do to help? Just ask anybody you meet. What can I do? I need to find somebody. What can I do to help today? And what you just did, you got in the V formation of the geese flying. You just tag team somebody out. You just linked up with somebody to where five of us is doing 100, but you know, 100 with 10,000 of us. And so there gets to be this buying up time. If you're not part of a small group, next Sunday morning, why don't you just get up? I'm going to tell you, it's 1 hour earlier, but that 1 hour, I'm going to tell you, that 1 hour you spend, you will buy probably hundreds and hundreds of hours. Every week, people come here at 909 in the back at the gymnasium building, and they spend an hour to gain hundreds of hours. They spend 1 hour, but what they gain is immeasurable. How can you redeem the time? Be here on time. Let me just say that openly to you. You know how you can redeem the time? Be here at 10:10. If you're coming for the church, be here at 909 to your class. Be here at 10:10 at the starting. That's how you can redeem time. You'll gain time back. They're not talking about some kind of old management. No, I'm just talking about redeeming the time. Father, in this place this morning, I thank you for people that you want to help redeem, rescue from loss, the critical moments of their lives, that they will not miss it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen this morning. Would you give the Lord a good clap offering? Would you do that? Amen. Hug somebody this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night, and we'll be doing the little bracelets together.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He rises.